Let's bring Dan Murphy into this conversation. Dan Murphy is a presentation of Maui Gym Sunglasses. Murph, what's going on, my friend?
Oh, just enjoying this SoCal weather. Nice sunshine. It's never too bad down here, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
I see why guys like playing down here.
Yeah, I can see why. I can see why it's the Canucks' destination south as well. Former Canucks seem to find their way down to Anaheim for good reason, it seems. But let's talk about the big news sort of so far right now, and it just came through that Chris Tanev is returning to Vancouver with an upper body injury that will keep him out for at least the rest of his road trip. What can you tell us about this?
I'm not sure. We just heard about it today. Mm-hmm. I do remember, and I'm going to have to ask Shorty, I don't remember anything happening last game in Calgary, but I do remember the final game of the homestand against Detroit. Near the end of the game, Shorthouse saying on the air, Tanev slow to get up. So I'm going to have to go back and check that out and see if that was anything to do with upper body or if it was lower body. But I don't remember anything that happened in Calgary off the top of my head where it looked like Chris Tanev got hurt. So it's a mystery to me where it happened or when it happened, but we just found out about it, so I'm going to have to do a little bit of sleuthing to see if I can figure out exactly what went on. But, I mean, it's the one defenseman they can least afford to miss. I mean, I think everybody probably believes he is their best defenseman. Obviously, he doesn't give you the same offensive capabilities of someone like a Del Zotto or even Edler, who comes back probably this evening. But I would say he is, in my mind, their best the best defenseman on the bank of the Canucks.
One play that I kind of remember from that game was when he – and it didn't seem like much at the time, but I wonder if there was some effects after the fact. When he took that puck off the head on the goal line, it didn't seem like a hard shot, but you never know when it comes to – you know, it is upper body. It's kind of a vague thing, but you're right. Nothing else stands out to me. I mean, I remember that being a great defensive play when he sort of blocked that puck right on the goal line when he was sitting down. It didn't seem like a hard shot. I can't imagine a concussion coming from that, but you never know. We'll have to kind of – stay tuned, and I know you will be, like you said, sleuthing it out, trying to figure out what maybe the issue was down there. But now, I guess, obviously, Jacob Markstrom back in goal again today. They announced that officially. There was some speculation that Demko may play due to his dad landing in LAX today back from Utica. But Markstrom obviously has been very, very good, and he looks for that to continue against his former partner in Ryan Miller, also getting the start for the Ducks.
Yeah, I think Markstrom, for me, like, heading into the season, when everybody's asking what the biggest question mark of the Canucks was, and for me, like, it was far and away goaltending. You know, some people would say the Twins, but I kind of felt like we knew what we were going to get from the Twins this season. We've seen it the last few seasons. It's the same thing. To me, it was always goaltending, and whether or not Markstrom, for one, or Markstrom-Nielsen tandem, could provide the type of goaltending to help keep the Canucks competitive. Because last season, or the last two seasons with Miller, the one thing he always said is that he never really lost the Canucks games, right? He wasn't the reason why they lost. And I was wondering if these two guys, and specifically Markstrom, could provide that type of goaltending. And I have been pleasantly surprised with how well Markstrom's played. Yes, there's been the odd soft goal, but when you're only giving up two goals a game, a lot of times that one soft one is not going to come back to haunt you. I think he's looked, all the things we're used to, athletic. You're probably going to break down the technical stuff a little bit better than me, Alex, but I think he's looked pretty calm in net. You don't see him overextending himself on a lot of those east-west plays like we've seen in the past. To me it's been, if Dorsett's the biggest pleasant surprise of the young season, I would say that Markstrom would have to be right next to it, and even more important than Dorsett for that matter.
What about the forwards tonight? Because Travis Green said Marcus Granlund will be a game time decision. If he does draw back into the lineup, who do you think is the most obvious candidate to come out?
Oh man, I mean, I think that I think Green liked Gaunce's game in Calgary. I don't know if Gaunce would be the one that just comes out right away. I wonder about Burmistrov, but then Green also said he liked that line in Calgary as well. That was kind of the one that didn't get torn apart. So it'd be very interesting, and maybe it just comes down to being Gaunce who moves back out of the lineup, because if you go by what Green said post-game in Calgary, he liked what he saw from the Vanek, Burmistrov, and Gagne line. So we'll have to wait and see. He did skate this morning Granlund, of course. They're saying game time. I think Edler's got a better chance than Granlund at this point, but if Granlund comes back, maybe it's 50 that has to take a seat again.
Now, with all these players back in the lineup and more injuries happening, have you heard anything about how far away Louis Erickson is, how close he is?
He skated pretty hard in Calgary, and then they were put through a pretty good workout. So I think he's probably – he was always, a week behind Edler, and then Stetcher was kind of a week behind Erickson, and Stetcher hasn't – he's not on this trip. So I would say that if Edler's back as early as tonight, I think we're looking at within a week then for Erickson to come back. But they've never really given, a specific update other than he is skating – not with the team yet in terms of full practices, but I think he's getting to that point where it's going to be a part of the main group pretty soon. So I would say maybe when they get back home, we might have a chance to see Erickson back on the ice.
We're talking to Sportsnet's Dan Murphy here, a presentation of Maui Jim Sunglasses on Sportsnet 650 with Sat and Alex. Now, I want to talk a little bit about Francesco Aquilini's appearance with Walker and Rintoul on the program earlier this week. And he did bring up the fact that they are considering a contract extension for GM Jim Benning. What did you make of Francesco talking about Benning and how optimistic he seemed about a deal getting done between the two sides?
Well, I think that once all the sides, and that's ownership and the president and management, Benning, once they really decided to call this what it is in terms of the rebuild, once they decided to move assets at the deadline for prospects and players, I think everybody was finally kind of on that same page in terms of the path of where this team has to go. Because, a couple summers ago, and the Erickson signing is the big one, I think that they were still kind of wondering if they could, the first year of the Willie to make the playoffs, the next year they don't, and then they sign Erickson. I think they were still wondering if they were more the team that made the playoffs than the one that missed it. And they found it pretty quickly. They're more the team that missed the playoffs. And I think that really triggered everyone to rethink a little bit the direction. And so I think now that all sides are kind of appear to be on the same page, then I think I've liked what Benning's done since that signing for the most part. And I think probably Benning, Mr. Aquilini sees the same thing. So to me, that's the biggest telltale sign. There's a plan in place now. It seems like they've been working towards that since the deadline. And all the moves kind of add up in that direction. So I wasn't that surprised to hear Francesco say that.
Do you think the Erickson signing was in part done because ownership also wanted the team to be more competitive at the time? So maybe that it's not just all on Jim Benning?
I would probably say so, yes. I mean, the rumors there that they were trying to not only get Erickson, but also Lucic as well, and maybe try to sign both of them. So that tells you right there, the team still thought that they'd be signing players to long-term deals that were later on in their careers to this roster. And thank goodness the Oilers scooped up Lucic, because you'd have two guys kind of in the wrong stage of their career making a lot of money with plenty of term left on their deals. So I would say that, obviously everything goes through ownership, but they would have had to be fully on board with that signing too, because they would have rather got back to the playoffs and missed the playoffs that year. So it seemed to me like a move at the time that was a really big stretch. I think most people saw it that way. But I think it was more of a hopeful signing that it was going to be something that helped them get back to the playoffs. Obviously that did not happen.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. It wasn't the most astute signing considering where the team was, but if ownership was on board with that signing or actually encouraged it, it would make sense for them not to hold Jim Benning's feet to the fire over that contract, no matter how onerous it may seem right now. Thank you very much, Murph. As always, we appreciate your insight. And Dan Murphy on Sportsnet 650 was brought to you by Maui Jim Sunglasses. See the world like you've never seen, and you're making use of them in sunny California today, aren't you?
I need to. I don't even want those crow's feet besides my eyes.
Oh, that would be terrible. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be horrible. Get away from that. Go back and do some sleuthing, all right?
I will. I'll text you when I find something out.
Sounds good, Murph. Thank you.